You're listening to the Word of Life AG podcast. Each week, a member of our staff shares a Devo, talking through a piece of our mission, vision, and culture. This is that Devo. Let's check it out.
I made the decision, I guess it would be a few months ago now, that in the time that we're going to spend together and as we do some devotionals as a staff, and then, of course, these go out to the podcast, and we encourage the leaders and the volunteers of the church to listen to these too. But I made the decision to, in the time that I have to spend sort of sharing some things with you and some leadership thoughts, really just to walk through the life of Saul. I have no idea how long it will take, but I just sort of want to walk through. And as we read about Saul, we continually find leadership lessons, leadership examples. More often than not, it's how Saul did something wrong and what we can learn from that. And the last time we were together, we sort of talked about this whole idea of, you know, we shouldn't feel this pressure or this responsibility to kind of orchestrate things and sort of manipulate situations and kind of, you know, play 4D chess to enable and to effectuate God's plans. But God is sovereign. He's over it. You know, kind of our responsibility is really just faithfulness, and he'll bring the right people along at the right time, and he'll position us in the right place where we need to be. And, you know, he'll kind of bring all those things together. And so today we're really sort of continuing that idea. And this is sort of, I guess you could say, a part B from that. It's sharing a lot of the same thoughts, and there's certainly a lot of overlap. But at the point where we're picking up the story, Saul has been out looking for missing donkeys. I've never gone out looking for missing donkeys. I fully expect to go the rest of my life without ever going to look for missing donkeys. But that's where Saul is. And in his time, he's kind of got to this point where the servant that's with him, they decided that they're going to go and call upon Samuel. Samuel had the reputation of being a prophet and a seer, which of course he was. And they thought, you know, if we go see him, perhaps he'll have some insight. Perhaps he'll have a word from the Lord for us about the donkeys. So they go, and little did they know that this was going to lead to Saul being king. That was the whole point of the last time. And we're kind of picking up that today, and we'll see where this is all connected. 1 Samuel 9:17. When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said, "The man I told you, that's the man I told you about. He will rule my people." Just then, Saul approached Samuel at the gateway and asked, "Can you please tell me where the seer's house is?" "I am the seer," Samuel replied. "Go up to the place of worship ahead of me. We will eat there together. And in the morning, I'll tell you what you want to know and send you on your way. And don't worry about those donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, for they have been found. And I'm here to tell you that you and your family are the focus of all Israel's hopes." Saul replied, "But I'm only from the tribe of Benjamin, the smallest tribe in Israel, and my family is the least important of all the families of that tribe. Why are you talking like this to me?" Then Samuel brought Saul and his servant into the hall and placed them at the head of the table, honoring them above the 30 special guests. Samuel then instructed the cook to bring Saul the finest cut of meat, the piece that had been set aside for the guest of honor. So the cook brought in the meat and placed it before Saul. "Go ahead and eat it," Samuel said. "I was saving it for you even before I invited these others." So Saul ate with Samuel that day. When they came down from the place of worship and returned to town, Samuel took Saul up to the roof of the house and prepared a bed for him there. At daybreak the next morning, Samuel called to Saul, "Get up, it's time you are on your way." So Saul got ready, and he and Samuel left the house together. When they reached the edge of town, Samuel told Saul to send his servant on ahead. After the servant was gone, Samuel said, "Stay here, for I have received a special message for you from God." And Samuel goes on to anoint Saul with oil, and we'll look at that next time. But Saul is on a mission. He's looking for these missing donkeys. And as Saul is looking for these, he has a task. He has a mission. Now, as I mentioned, I've never looked for donkeys. I don't ever expect to look for any kind of livestock. But there's a mission. There's a set of responsibilities. That's something I do understand. That's something I do identify with. The specifics, of course, I don't, but I think all of us would have many, many instances on a daily basis where we have a responsibility. We are going somewhere with an objective in mind. We are doing something with a set of assumptions built in. We're going somewhere, and this is just how we expect it's going to go. We're just doing something ordinary, perhaps, something we've done many, many times before. You go to the store, you get the milk you need, you go to the checkout, you pay, you go to self-checkout because you're sick of people today, and you go on your way home. There's a set of expectations how it's going to go. I'm going to the airport. When you go to the airport, you check in, you get your bag figured out, you go to your gate, and then you figure out what you're going to eat. You don't eat and then look for your gate because that's how you end up missing planes. But there's just a set of expectations. This is how it's going to go. This is the sequence of events. This is how it's going to be. And we can identify at least that much with Saul. He's looking for donkeys. He's expecting, I'm going to the seer's house. And when I get there, maybe, just maybe, he'll have a word for us. And what he finds when he gets there is completely different than what he's expecting. And that's what I want to hit on for us today. Your expectations as you're going about your life, as you're fulfilling your task, as you're being faithful in your responsibilities, as you're doing something you may have done many, many times before. Perhaps you're doing something unusual, but this is what you think it's all for. This is what you think it's all about. And your expectations might be wrong. You may think that something is going to go in one direction only for it to go in another. We may have a set of assumptions, not necessarily crazy or wild ideas, but just assumptions based on our experience that this is how this logically goes and this is what's reasonable about this. But when God's involved, it might well end up taking a twist. It might well end up taking a wild left turn that we would never, ever would have guessed. A moment that starts appearing one way, but it ends up going another. So I got a few thoughts around this idea. As a with God, every moment has the potential to be significant in unknowable ways. With God, every moment has the potential to be significant in unknowable ways. So we should, with that in mind, be on alert. Be on alert. If we're on alert, when God's doing something, when he's orchestrated a moment, we'll know it. If it's on our mind, if it's part of our life of faith, is that every room I walk into, maybe God's at work. Every time I go to the store, maybe God's at work. Maybe this person I'm sat next to on the plane, maybe God's gonna burst open a conversation. Maybe when I'm going to do this thing, maybe when I get there, it's not gonna be about the thing. There's gonna be something else that God has for us there. Maybe there's gonna be a divine connection. Not too long ago, this is a simple enough example, but Luke and I went out to lunch. Little did we know that the family sitting next to us was a family of pastors and their kids. And so we're just sort of talking, you know, I mean, I can't remember what we were talking about. It was something church related, of course, you know. And so the guy sort of like interrupted our conversation, which I would do as well if I was him, and just introduced himself. And so we swapped information and we've been in touch since. And I'm going to go ahead and hope that a friendship has been started and there's another pastor in the area that I can be a friend with. You never know. I thought I was just going to get great chicken, which we did, but there's more. These things take a twist. That's a teeny tiny example. But how many of these examples do we have and how many do we miss because we're not on alert, because we've so focused on the task? My friends, be open to what God is doing. Be open to the fact that he may be at work in a situation that's very ordinary, that we have a simple set of expectations and assumptions about, but God's going to be involved and the whole thing's going to have a whole different purpose and meaning than we ever would have thought. Saul was out looking for donkeys. He wasn't looking to become king, but God's involved. But God's doing significant things in unknowable ways. Second thing, is we should be interruptible. We should be interruptible. This is not something that comes easy to me. This is not something that I would say I excel in. If there's stuff to do, if there's stuff that needs to get done, I get very, very grumpy. If I get waylaid, if I've got a mission, if I've got something I want to get done, especially if it's something that's important to me or something I'm looking forward to, and that plan kind of takes a skew, I get irritable. That's the wrong way of thinking. I think I need to be stretched in that. If we have a plan, if we have an objective, okay. But if God's going to disrupt that, I want to be okay with it. I want to be okay with it. You know, Sunday morning is a great example. There is not a single one of us on the staff that don't have a strong set of responsibilities on Sunday. There's things we're going to get done. We're a church. It's a Sunday morning. We're busy. We've got a list of stuff for things to do, important things to do. We're not doing frivolous stuff. There's things we need to get. What if somebody wants to interrupt our plan? I'm uncomfortable just saying it. But while I'm busy looking for donkeys, God wants to make someone king. We should be interruptible. With God, every moment has the potential to be significant in unknowable ways. So we should trust God with the donkeys. We should trust God with the donkeys. Samuel's word to Saul when he got to the door was, don't worry about these donkeys that were lost 3 days ago. They have been found. We've got a set of responsibilities. We got a set of things that we're busy with, whether it's family, ministry, whatever it may be. We're going about our business. The plans get disrupted. Take comfort. God will figure out the donkeys. Whatever it is that needs to be interrupted, whatever it is that, you know, because we're being aware, because we're alert, okay, this is what God's really doing in this. I thought it was one thing, but turns out it's another. God still figures it all out. The things that need to be left behind or under, God's in it. Trust God with the donkeys. With God, every moment has the potential to be significant in unknowable ways. So we should be on alert, interruptible, and we should trust him with the donkeys. Lord, I pray that as we do have our eyes fixed on you, that we are open to you being at work in each and every moment and every situation we're in and every room we walk into. Lord, help us be alert. Help us have our eyes open. Help us have our mind on you and be open to the possibility that you are indeed at work, that you are indeed orchestrating things, that you have weaved things together in ways that we could never imagine. Lord, help us be interruptible, not to be so locked and so determined in our plans, but Lord, we're open to you. And Lord, as we live like this and have a mindset like this, that all those things that we thought were the priority and the things that we thought were the reason for us being where we are, Lord, somehow you're taking care of things. That somehow that, Lord, you're making sure that everything is okay. That you are truly in control. So Lord, we come here, we submit ourselves, we love you, we honor you, we glorify you. And Lord, I believe you're moving in the lives of our staff and our church and our leaders. And Lord, we truly honor you and we love you. In Jesus' incredible name, amen.